sports leagues are keeping fans happy with games conducted within quarantine bubbles. And now there's thinking that the same model might work for TV production. At least that's what media mogul Tyler Perry is trying. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans joins us to talk about this. Welcome.
Hi.
So, Eric, Tyler Perry presented a detailed plan on how he'd produce shows through the pandemic, and now it actually seems to be working. What do we know about his experiment?
Yeah, so he was very detailed in the plan that he laid out. The way that it worked is that he would have cast and crew get tested in their hometown. Mm-hmm. They self-isolate after they test, presuming that they would test negative. And then they fly to Atlanta. They get tested again, and again, assuming that they get negative testing. Then they're quarantined on this facility, and they get regular tests every few days. Mm. And then when they did the production, they didn't have any outbreaks, so they were feeling pretty good about their system.
Mm. That's interesting. You know, I use the comparison of sports teams. We know, based on what's been happening with some of those teams, that these types of bubbles aren't foolproof, even with all of these measures. Do you think, though, that other TV studios could follow Perry's lead?
The lesson to me is that it adds a lot of extra time to a production, which costs money. And all of this testing is expensive. And, you know, given all of the controversy about how fast testing results may come in now for the general public because so many people are trying to get tested, the idea that, you know, Hollywood would want to consume all of these tests, that's also going to be another question. Can that happen? And how will people feel if, you know, all these productions are consuming so much of the testing facilities in a place like California or Atlanta or New York?
Right. But it could be a possible solution. So many people depend on the entertainment industry for employment. I guess weighing out whether the pros outweigh the cons as far as cost on the money you're losing from no production versus being able to offer it in this way, it'll be an interesting one to watch for sure. I want to ask you about Quibi. So as we know, it's a mobile-only streamer, and it launched a few months ago. They released a remake of The Fugitive. Is it worth signing up for the streaming service to see this?
How much do you like hate watching shows?
Ooh. Oh, boy. Question. Say more.
So I've watched, I think I watched the first five episodes, quote unquote episodes. You know, you get the sense when you're watching it that it feels like it's almost like a TV movie that's been chopped up. You know, The Fugitive is a classic TV show. A guy's falsely accused of crime. He goes on the run. And there's this odd sort of bond slash antagonism with the lead police officer, law enforcement person who's tasked with finding him. David Janssen starred in the classic TV show, and then Harrison Ford starred in a very popular movie about it.
Yeah.
And Tommy Lee Jones played the law enforcement officer who was chasing him. So now we have a version on Quibi, and Kiefer Sutherland, who people may know from 24, plays the law enforcement officer who's tracking the fugitive. Let's just listen to a clip of him playing this character because it's so over the top and so ridiculous.
Hey, everybody, listen up. We're about to get our warrants for Mike Farrow's house, car, and computer. If his dog has fleas, I want them confiscated. And I get a copy, boss.
Copy, boss.
These are to my ears. One more thing, superstars. Everything about this case stays on the QT. Whatever you know, put it in a bag, toss it off the Santa Monica Pier.
Can't we amp up the pressure on Farrow if we leak him as a person of interest?
Why would you want to tip him off? Right now he thinks he's gotten away with it. That's when he'll make his mistake. Absolutely no one says the words Mike Farrow to the press. Understood?
Now, don't you do that in a newsroom? You know, you sort of bark out an order and say, give me a copy, boss. Copy, boss. The one thing I've learned from watching this show is how good Tommy Lee Jones was in the film, because he said lines that were similar but made them sound realistic and authentic and cool. Kiefer Sutherland just sounds, he doesn't sound cool. Let's just put it that way.
Well, it sounds like what you're giving, though, is critique of the actual performance versus the platform and this show being in this really short 10-minute or less episode model? Or do you think that it just doesn't work in this model compounded by the acting and production?
I think it's both. Part of the problem is the format of Quibi, I think, makes it hard for them to create this kind of long-form dramatic programming that will hold your attention. You really have to have a sense that a project is crafted for Quibi. And so far, mm-hmm. when I've watched these longer dramatic things, it doesn't feel like they were crafted for Quibi. It just feels like it's become the stop of last resort for people who are pitching projects around Hollywood. So these yeah. projects we're seeing, it doesn't feel like, oh, you know, they got a great show that everybody wanted, but it's on Quibi. And I think that's something they need to work on.
Yeah, along with just getting people to sign up for the service, which has been a challenge during the pandemic. That's NPR's TV critic Eric Deggans, as always. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.